I feel all sauntery and warmed up. What the f*** is going on down there? Probiotics. Probiotics, ladies and gentlemen. Probiotics. Aaron.
You have one word of the three that I said, go ahead and say, and we can end the podcast.
Probiotics. I have to look up what that phrase was that I said. I keep forgetting the middle word. I guess it was the first word. Omega's Prime, probiotics.
I'm sorry, I am antibiotics, personally.
Wow. Why don't you move to Russia?
Oh... Penny Arcade, there, we got them all, let's go.
Yep. Batwoman. So,
RoboCop.
Yeah, we're here on one of the saltiest weekends of the entire internet. And we're here with some TFW 2005 on this lovely September the 5th, 2013, our first podcast of the autumn of this year. The kids are back in school, the teachers are back in school, and... the post-secondary students are back in school. But what we're going to talk about is something that's coming up next summer. Now, this is a rumor, all right? This is only substantiated by the convention center having employees who know about the date and a nearby hotel having a block of rooms scheduled for the same time frame with a discounted rate similar to previous years. But apparently there's a rumored very slight chance... that BotCon 2014 will be from June 18 to 22 in 2014 at the Pasadena Convention Center in Pasadena, California. Now, that's not been confirmed by anyone from BotCon. It's simply the case that the convention center, the hotel, and a whole bunch of people who heard it from someone else, who are all coming up out of the woodwork to say they heard it from someone else, myself included, are pretty much saying, oh yeah, those are the dates. So... there's a very small 1% chance that we know that BotCon 2014 is now going to be happening on June 18 to 22 of next year. Aaron, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that's a good time of year for a convention?
June puts it right at kind of the beginning of summer break. So in making it a family-friendly destination thing, yeah, that's a good time. The Pasadena location is a good location for a BotCon. The thing I was trying to hash out on Twitter the other day that, like many things lately, has gone horribly awry is I think that FunPub needs to pick if they're a traveling convention or a stationary convention.
I think that currently, whether they want to say it or not, they're in between. It's become predictable now when they're going to be in Pasadena.
Yeah, movie years in Pasadena are a fun thing, and I think even a non-movie year convention in Pasadena could be a fun thing.
And yeah.
I just think that for their own sake, they would be well off picking one and going for it. If they're going to be a traveling convention, go to a different place up or down the West Coast or a different place around L.A. Even though that is a great location, at least have it be... changed up so that we're traveling and you get to see different things if you go to BotCon every year. Or say, hey, we're going to be in Pasadena every year on X weekend in June. That way you can schedule out to 2018 and get your time off ahead of time so we can make this a destination thing that everybody knows about.
Can you imagine the nuclear detonation in the thread if they actually said we're just going to be in Pasadena every year?
It would go nuts because... BotCon in the past has been a mobile convention. Everybody's wanted the chance to have like the 2-hour drive to get to a BotCon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I totally understand that. And that is totally a stance to have. It may not be the best stance because that comes off as kind of me, whiny in the end.
West Coast correspondent Omega's Prime, what are your thoughts on the idea of Pasadena?
I don't know. I always felt like Pasadena.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, I know her. Yeah.
I'm running on a little sleep right now.
She does get around.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But no, I always felt Pasadena was kind of the easy one to get because, well, that's very close to where all the guests are. It's very close to where some of the bigger vendors are, and it's just all around easier. It always kind of felt like the easy way out, whereas it was a lot more travel involved going all the way to the East Coast or whatnot. Which just kind of bugs me, because, I had one of those two-hour trips to BotCon. It's a nice thing to have. I wouldn't mind it again.
Yeah, I want to say this right up front as well, and I've said it before, but, like, the Pasadena location they seem to have basically secured whenever they go to Pasadena is one of the best places I've ever had a BotCon at, and it's,
only gripes the hotel bar, really.
Yeah, and I mean, that aside, like, that location, the large, and I mean large, grocery store across the street.
Yes.
It's hard to, I mean, you have to go to a lot of conventions to realize how great that is. But as far as an actual convention location, it's beautiful to the point where I wouldn't mind if it was there every year. And I said this on Twitter the other day, you gotta also realize my position. For me, BotCon has always been a trip.
Uh-huh.
So, I've realized now how hollow they are. I only really can offer very hollow condolences to those who have to travel to get to a BotCon, because to me it's just part of the cost.
Right.
Which makes BotCon is always the big trip of a year. Mm-hmm. If I'm going usually. So Pasadena, I'm not really annoyed about Pasadena, and I mean, and travel's going to be a thing for everyone. Right. But I was going to hypothesize, because they were doing a pretty decent rotation around for a bit early on, or not early on, sorry, in the middle of the Fun Pub era, because early on I felt it was kind of like very, like, Texas, and then kind of moved away a little bit, but I always had a feeling that maybe they were starting to feel the burn of when locations don't really work out, and by locations not working out, I mean Cincinnati.
Yeah.
That's the only time that's ever really bothered me, but I wonder if it's becoming the case of, do we keep taking the calculated risk, or do we, at least for the movie years, and clearly they have been, just go to Pasadena because we know that works. And having a set hotel and, you know, or convention center or both is something that can work. Other conventions do it. TFCon does it. I want to say San Diego Comic-Con has been doing that.
Yeah, San Diego Comic-Con. There's only one friggin' place in San Diego that would take that. That's the thing, is Gen Con does it. A lot of the big conventions will pick their spot. That way they can cut a better deal with the hotel by saying, hey,
yeah,
this is our record. We're going to fill up your hotel. You know, I think if they were in at the Pasadena Conference Center every year, we wouldn't have that joke that tended to happen of, oh wow, before we even announced it, the hotel block sold out.
Or no, the joke of, hey, it's 30 days till the convention, here's the convention.
yeah. Location. You know, if you've been going to the same place year after year after year, you can say, hey, look, what did we do last year? What did we do the year before? What did we do the year before that? Okay,
yeah.
Worst was we put 400 rooms. Why don't you open up a block that's 400 rooms with this price point? Then we don't have to go back and renegotiate things as we, you know, fight through it all to get everybody in the hotel, because everybody wants to be in the main hotel.
Yeah, and
so
and,
I think get rid of a lot of their extra work that they got to go through by saying, hey, look, we know in 2014 where it's going to be. We know in 2015 where it's going to be. We know in 2016 where it's going to be. That's one less thing we have to go and send people around to, maybe, you know, fly to this city to check out this place, or spend 2 days looking up to see what, you know, what Seattle or Boston, can we confirm we can wheel a truck
into this convention location, etc. Right,
exactly. We've got a full-size trailer that we've got to get in here. Oh, this convention center can't take it. Okay, well, it's a good thing that we figured that out beforehand. No, and you plan at one place and you go.
And you can see anyone who's been to TFCon regularly in the last few years, you know, I don't think it's any secret. You could just tell by going that TFCon has exercised an influence of, we bring people here over the current hotel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And bar. And I say all this is all basically, like, you know, we're spinning this as a pretty positive thing. BotCon has also historically, it kind of has a history now, been a traveling convention. And even though I am pro Pasadena, it would be kind of a bummer if it's dropped and anchored. It would be a bummer. I wouldn't be against it, but I would, you know, kind of go like, oh, that's a shame that the era's come to an end.
Yeah, there, it's kind of a double-edged sword thing. Where, yeah. Okay. I've never been to the BotCon's Pasadena. Is it a separate convention center attached to a hotel, or is it the same building?
There is an open air walkway between the hotel and the convention center, okay. But it's Pasadena, so it's like if when they had the nasty lineup in the sun and was that 11 or
that was the walk-in lineup, 9. Right?
Yeah, where there was a person that fell out and had medical called.
Yeah.
Was that 2011? But it, rare case for Pasadena to be hot nasty. So, you know, it's not like if it was here in Indiana where you'd want a direct thing, but it's on the same property. I'm trying to get Google to load for me, but it's not playing nicely.
Right.
It's got as much outdoor as BotCon did this year, except that there is actually a lobby and a bar and there are hangout places. Right. And the convention center has an enormous amount of hangout space in the corners, if you know where to look. And it's actually really convenient because those large hangout spots are right by where you pick up your toys, which means it's actually pretty easy to just step away and pop open your box set and check it out without having to like drag it all the way up to your room. Without getting in people's way.
Yeah. The point I'm going to make here is it sounds like it's built the same way that MetroCon, where I go every year, where it's a convention center and a hotel that just happened to be connected by a bridge.
Yeah, I just threw in chat there the thing to the left, if that's showing the same way, is the main convention center, and the long building to the south is the hotel. There's an open air walkway, and then there's like a hotel.
You're an open air walkway.
A block that way. It's surrounded by hotels if you don't necessarily want to go to the Hyatt that's attached to it.
Yeah,
whatever it is.
There is a disadvantage to not traveling around because you don't get it gives you a chance to have a different atmosphere, gives you a chance to have just different environments, and it kind of forces you to have other things, which different vendors for good or worse, for different guests, some that can travel and some that can't, whatnot.
Yeah.
So it does give you a little bit of variety, gives you a little bit of different feel and flavor. But at the same time, you're right. The longer you stay in one place, the more the relationship you build, not only with a hotel, but with the convention center itself.
Yeah.
Right. When they know you, like if they knew them and they knew, well, this is how much business we bring in and we take care of the place, that gives you a lot more leeway to do things that you wouldn't maybe normally get away with.
And the other boon of that is, and I mean, this is just something I've kind of been putting together watching, you know, seeing tweets and messages on message boards and stuff, but I have a feeling that the current FunPub business process has a lot of trouble dealing with roadblocks when more than one happen at a time, and that would ideally be negated to quite a degree by going to the same place all the time, so It's a real, like, we're weighing, like, a handful of, like, beautiful, delicious potato chips and a handful of beautiful, delicious ice cream here. It's like, you can't have both, but they both taste kind of good. I don't know.
I think it's something that if BotCon needs to kind of pick one.
Yeah.
You can have your potato chips or your ice cream, but trying to have both back and forth just leaves you with a funky taste in the mouth.
Yeah, and I feel, I mean,
salty and sweet sometimes go together.
I feel for those in the eastern states, and I mean, like, I'm in an eastern part of Canada now, you know, and you know, traveling is expensive for sure, and BotCon's already not a cheap experience.
So,
but you know, at some point, like, it kind of sucks to say it, but eventually, like, there's no way to make it something that's going to work for everyone.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing that I always love when any of these things happen. It's nobody's ever, or everybody's never going to have it in their backyard at once.
Yeah.
That's horrible English. But, you know, there's always going to be the person that gets fired up because it's not in the 20-minute walking distance that they can have from their house.
And
that sucks, but
if it was in one place, then eventually no one would be as mad anymore about that.
Right. Yeah. if it was, you know, again, if it was at Pasadena every year, or even at Dallas every year, because that's right next to where their home office is, then you know where it is every year. It's one less up-in-the-air thing to have to deal with. You know, I know every year that it's going to be here. My airfare should cost about this, so I can start budgeting early for to look and see when the best time to get flights are, because sometimes it's 6 months out, sometimes it's 6 weeks out. I can get a feel for this thing when it's Lexington, Rhode Island, Ohio, California, Florida, California, Texas, California. It's like boom, 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 boom. I don't know when the best time is going to be. And it's, again, it's, if it was everywhere, then it can be everywhere and they should let you know as soon as possible. If it's going to be the same place every year, make it the same place every year. And, oh, regardless, if there are three or four different sources telling us that it's going to be at this place, maybe they should have actually made the announcement that it's going to be there so that it can be official and not
I've heard the rumors, too. And I say rumors, you know, with a lowercase r. Yeah. But that's why on Twitter I was confused, because I was like, well, I mean, a lot of people have known about this for a while, but, like, how, like, I was more so just wondering, how did this guy just... He just popped up on the boards going like, yo, I talked to the convention center. I was like, man, like, is this how far the rumor got that someone just went like, I'm just going to call the convention center?
That very well could be. I mean, I'd heard it a couple of different ways that, was, you know, everybody was saying about the same thing, but it was nothing. It wasn't anything that was terribly out of the blue.
Oh, you know, also, you know what we should cover? Yeah. Our sources, fourth parties.
Mine was a fifth and a seventh, I think.
Yeah. We heard them from a bunch of those number parties groups. I want to say the one thing I think we can all agree on about what BotCon could do location-wise is I bet you that I'm not the only one who totally doesn't want to be the guy that makes the decision.
Yeah.
Because that's a decision that will suck. It'll be great, and it will suck when you make it, no matter what decision you make.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's the current... you know, hish-hash about BotCon 2014. On the bright side, it means a lot of people are now able to, this far in advance, say either, you know, I'm going to make it or not, because at least now you can say it and you get over it if you can't make it by the time the show comes around, yeah. Whereas it's not like, okay, in 30 days, while I'm still maybe kind of upset I can't make it, it's all going to be going down. Mm-hmm. I think the timeline is nicer if this really is all the info. I'm going to keep treating it like a rumor just for the sake of being the only guy who does, because it's kind of fun. So, Aaron, I know that you're currently still in a position where it's not super realistic to make it out to BotCon.
The most I could do would be to, I think, flight. If I remember the scheduling right, I can get flights for relatively inexpensive to get to Bob Hope Airport and then, like, sleep on somebody's floor. Hey, that is one of the coolest airports to come in and out of, because it's a little tiny airport, and they're like, yeah, security's the thing that we kind of got to do, isn't it? Okay, you're not going to mess anything up? All right, go on.
And then it gets clotted full of Transformers fans. It's wonderful.
And like, staying on somebody's floor, and I wouldn't get a box set, but that's even if I had the money, I think, at this point, with BotCon, with FunPub's other issues, capital O, capital I would be giving them as very little money as possible.
Just write it all down in traveler's checks.
Yeah.
Omegas, being our West Coast correspondent, it sounds like you're probably not in a position to make it out to Pasadena in the summer.
Well, being the West Coast correspondent, of course, I have no way of being on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Nah.
I could have picked that job better, in retrospect.
Nah, summer always runs into, honestly, bigger priorities convention-wise for me.
Yeah, and... I have said it on Twitter, by the way, Twitter is a thing. Next year, being the 30th anniversary of Transformers and whatnot, it'd be kind of fun to make it out to BotCon, TFCon, and Auto Assembly, do the hat trick of the biggins. Yeah. I don't know if I actually will be able to, but that would be fun to do. So we'll see.
I want to go to BotCon for friends and for the cool stuff that I hope they're going to do.
They're all coming to TFCon. Or at least a good majority of them are, they're probably going to try to.
The friends, yeah, if that's what the Skypey bit was that I missed. What Hasbro may do for us, I don't know. What other stuff may go on, I don't know.
Bear in mind, it's a movie year, and that could very well step on, you know, a non-movie-oriented anniversary thing.
Yeah,
like, that might get because they could shunt that to 2015 and still say it's technically in the time frame, depending when the show happens. So there's room for the 30th anniversary itself to get celebrated more so outside of 24. I don't know.
I think if they pull that at the last minute, they would have a lot of cranky pants.
Well, I mean, that kind of thing has happened many times, like being at BotCon and getting like, yo, the fan-built bot will be revealed at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
You know, like that's...
I think that does also show where Hasbro's concerns lie.
Anyway, I don't want to spend too much longer on that stuff, because I also want to talk about one other FunPub-related piece of news, which is that we had another figure subscription service revealed today. It was the Scout, and it was the most predictable figure of the bunch once we heard Scout and saw Nick Roche doing a head design for Chrome Dome. So Nick Roche designed, with a little camera on it, a head based on More Than Meets the Eye Rewind, and they've stuck it on the... Okay... They're calling it the Reveal the Shield Rumble. This is the United Frumble mold, because that's the only place where you could actually get it. but it's the Frenzy and Rumble tank scout that almost came out in the States and then didn't. Done up as Rewind from More Than Meets the Eye. Now, for some context, in the first issue of More Than Meets the Eye, Rewind and Chrome Dome, and I forgot who else. Maybe Brainstorm? I can't remember the third person anymore. There was a conversation happening, and there was an offhand remark about how Rewind's like, yeah, well, my alt mode's not a super space tank, blah, blah, blah thing. So him turning it into a tank here perhaps is attributed to that line. I think that that's more so a coincidence. Yeah. I think that this is more so there's a Scout cassette, we're doing a Chrome Dome, and everyone loves Chrome Dome and Rewind. Now, the reason why I kind of like this figure is that turning into a tank with golden treads and golden guns on it is so insanely inappropriate for what Rewind is in More Than Meets the Eye that it, like, breaks through the dumbosphere into a realm somewhere outside the dumb moon that I really enjoy. Like, it's just so patently ludicrous that it does it in a way that I find hilarious. And I was saying, you know, elsewhere on social medias that I think Auto Assembly at least should get a small special what if comic of what if More Than Meets the Eye in which Rewind turns into a frigging tank with golden guns and how things might have gone differently in the book from day one. So the head is apparently a colored image that is an image of the 3D CAD render of the head, which means this is apparently much closer to what it'll actually look like. It's not line art put over top of a physical toy. It's a 3D image put over a physical toy picture, and it's all Photoshopped together. So it looks neat. It's really, really dumb, but kind of interesting. And hey, I'm happy for Nick Roche getting to do two heads based on some very beloved work he had a hand in. So that's interesting. Omegas, what are your thoughts on Tank Rewind?
Oh God, this is weird. There's a fear in the back of my head that if he actually does come back in the comic, as there's a little wiggle room for.
Yeah, well, I mean, he stepped away from the spotlight in the comic for a little while.
Yeah.
And we'll see where that goes.
I always think back to this little thing that IDW seems to have for working in any current toy design into the comic books, no matter where it really came from, to the point where we were getting War for Cybertron designs influencing what used to be G1 and IDW.
Mm-hmm.
There's just this weird part of me in the back that, well, if we can figure out how to bring back Rewind, like, maybe he can be like a data slug that plugs into a big tank.
At the same time, I feel like those moves may be semi-predicated by a Hasbro word in the background, because, you know, those toys are also saleable.
Yeah,
this is not as saleable because this is a subscription toy that you have. Like, when's the cutoff for this? Like, pretty soon. Yeah. Anyway,
It almost seems like a knee-jerk reaction that IDW is going to use whatever toy design that's out right now, just because that's current. That works. It is hysterical.
Yeah,
because that's probably one of the last characters I could ever picture as a tank in the first place.
Well. On Twitter, I went on to say I'd love to see someone do up Rung from Fall of Cybertron Brawl. XV Braun did it. I'm gonna go and find a link to that picture.
I saw that. That's gorgeous.
I was chuckling. I was chuffed, and I was chuckling. Anyway, yeah. Aaron, what about you? What are your thoughts on More Than Meets the Eye getting some more love, albeit in a way that feels wildly out of character?
I definitely do appreciate it. I think that that's an interesting mold that I've only gotten to fiddle with a little bit. That he becomes a tank after saying that he is has a boring alt mode or doesn't whatever with the alt mode is kind of weird. I therapy tank. Yep.
That, I like that he put the eyebrows on.
The eyebrows and the like the Tony Stark like repulsor chest thing. Yeah. Yeah, I dig it. Again, I wish there wasn't the stigma with the PFSS.
Wow, watch out, man. You might offend some people. It's subscription service.
Again, I'm used to it.
Subscription service.
Yes.
It's a very sibilant phrase. Yeah, 0.0, yeah.
Hope the next one's like 2.1, not 3.0. Yeah, me too.
You know, if you're going to do a 2.0...
Or like 2S, like Apple does.
Oh, God.
2S.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, let's do that. Let's take on Apple nomenclature.
Because if it was Apple, then it would be 4, and then 4S, and then 5, and 5.
But was there ever an iPhone 2?
No, there wasn't. It went to 3G. Yeah. Because it's a 3G phone.
So now they got to skip a number.
And then it was the 3GS, and then 4S,
that one had the compass.
5S, yeah.
Yeah. So they're doing this little this little rewind, and there's a secret figure who is probably totally going to be Eject that we haven't seen yet. And I want to agree with a couple of folks on Twitter, and I cannot remember who was having this discussion now. I was at work waiting through a render, but someone said they should do a swerve and have the secret figure be Rosanna so we get a pink tank, and I am completely for that. Also, because I realized also today, because I forgot, like, almost no one I know really got their hands on this mold because it was oddly tricky to get a hold of, and then when it became not tricky to get a hold of, it also cost way the hell too much money for two of the same scout.
Yeah, it hit that point where it only, almost like a Blue Ramble thing where it came out only in Japan, and then everyone went, oh god, it's not coming out of the US, hoard it.
Yeah.
And now everyone wants to turn a profit on it.
It's a pretty cool little mold. It's not perfect. There are better scouts, but it's a pretty good scout from a good era of, like, the final era of scouts. I think Windcharger still was a better toy. This one's neat, though. It's got a cool transformation, but it's not common, but it's also not confined just to me. The pile drivers are spring-loaded, and they can be a little bit hinky, because there's no, like, big solid button that holds them in place. It's worked into the side paneling, and sometimes it doesn't really work super well, and then suddenly the pile drivers are firing off in tank mode, and it starts looking real silly. Also, Rewind now has pile drivers. You know?
Yeah, like he do.
It drives the data into things.
It's so dumb. It's so dumb. It's such, it's like a really logical choice up front, and then all you have to do is just pause for a second and see how insanely inappropriate it is, but in the best way. Like, I love it. It's so stupid. And now I really want the Chrome Dome to just come with a pair of katanas as well. So just go all out. What if, More Than Meets the Eye, everyone was a tank, and Fortress Maximus was a double tank?
Double tank. A small tank sitting on top of a bigger tank.
That's right.
But a small tank upside is down in case it flips over, because then you still got treads.
Yeah, you can't knock over a double tank. And then if something's powerful enough to knock over a tank and it faces a double tank, well, it's screwed, because the best thing you can do is knock over a tank. I'm really curious to see what the aftermarket will be like on this guy. I think he's in a middle point where he could really go either way, because there is a supremely passionate crowd behind More Than Meets the Eye, and a lot of them are also supremely passionate for Chrome Dome and Rewind. But he's also not, like, the perfect Rewind toy, so I'm curious to see how it goes. And the police, they heard Aaron say SS, and now I'm going to be arrested. Wonderful. So, that was some talk about a toy picture, and I've done this segue, I think, like, 15 weeks in a row, but it's time for us to talk about some new picture picks. So, Omegas Prime, what's your new picture pick?
It's probably not good to go to me first.
Okay.
I've kind of been email buried all night. I have not had the chance.
While he is using the email shovel, Aaron, what's your new picture pick?
New picture pick's an old picture pick.
God damn it.
It's a thing I like.
You're not allowed to like
1995
things.
Catalog scans from Toy Fair.
Is there anything like super new in that, or is it?
It's a clearer shot of the General Optimus Prime and Sergeant Hound.
Oh, cool!
Those auto rollers that never were.
General Optimus Prime was such a stupid thing. I love it.
Yeah, it's Green Optimus Prime. Hound is white.
It's Green Optimus Prime with camo.
Yeah,
which turns into like a dump truck.
Yeah. Or they're just like, we got names, just throw it on stuff.
Army dump truck.
I can't remember. See, this is where my G2 knowledge starts to slip. I don't think that the combat hero, did the blue prime and the gray and green tiger stripe Megatron ever really come out?
No, I believe those two couple got made.
Yeah, okay. We got the white one, and we got the white Prime, and we got the purple Megatron.
Because I remember Elvin Pena being excited because he got himself a blue sealed combat hero Prime because it was like one of four or something. That's right.
Yeah, that is a big deal. And Megatron ATB didn't he come out somewhere but not everywhere, like Brazil?
There are some of those out there.
Like
that
more
is
than
a,
four.
Yeah, that is a thing that hit retail theoretically somewhere, because I know I've seen two or three of those sealed. They came out later in almost the exact same color scheme, like, what, a decade later? Was it Target that had that in like a black and dark blue color scheme? Because there was the Smokescreen and Starscream one that came out.
Yeah.
Oh, the Dreadwing.
Dreadwing and Starscream that came out, yeah.
Dreadwing and Smokescreen.
Smokescreen? Okay. I keep going back to Starscream because I'm thinking...
When did he become Smoke Jumper? There was a Smoke Jumper, wasn't there?
Smoke Jumper was the RID repaint because they didn't want to confuse it with Smokescreen from Armada.
Right. What a weird era.
Yeah. And then all of the GoBots that were the Hot Wheels cars that... It's cool to actually, if you look at them as the line of six, how the colors are all gang molded so that what's green on this dude has to be green on that dude.
Mm-hmm. And there was something about this lineup too, wasn't there? Was it the Bumblebee one, or was there something else about this?
Soundwave is yellow. Sideswipe is blue.
Yellow with a purple head.
Yeah. Sideswipe is blue with
Ironhide is yellow. Silver and blue.
At least that's kind of like Ironhide. Iron's
I think
kind of silver.
I'm pretty sure Frenzy's the only one who got out completely clean.
No, he's the wrong color too.
At least he's one of his two colors.
Bumblebee's
gold and yellow. That works. Megatron silver.
Yeah, he's got mega. Works. Yeah, he's kind of got the Megaplex colors going.
Yeah.
I like G2.
Odd, strange time. The laser rods. Did all four of the laser rods that they have, 1, 2, 3, 4, come out? Yeah, Jazz is a white and green motorcycle. Yeah,
wasn't Jazz and Soundwave the two who were rarer to come by?
Jazz and Soundwave were the unreleased ones.
Well, rare. Yeah, they were in the, like, there's four or six or eight of them, wasn't it? Like,
in that realm of if one shows up on eBay, it's newsworthy.
Yeah. I remember Megatron ATB for the longest time was like the entry level super rare toy.
Yeah.
Like if you wanted to get into that, you track down a Megatron ATB.
Yeah. Because everybody was like, they never made them. And they're like, yeah, but we've seen 30 of them sold in the last year. So
they made 30.
Some of them. They made that, or people are buying it and going, hey, this is neat. I'm going to pass it on to somebody else. You know, they're out and around. You want to get crazy? Find me the General Optimus Prime, and then we'll talk about you getting a thing that was never made.
Yeah.
Because there's at least two of them in the picture. automatic robot conversion. I don't know. I always love these odd glimpses into history, because this is the thing that I faintly remember as I was getting started in Transformers, as an air quotes adult, would have been like 6 or 7 years ago. So it's old enough that like first person accounts are almost an acceptable thing of, yeah, I totally saw that at a show one time in New Jersey.
Oh, there was an era of, like, because enough heads started coming together thanks to the internet, like, all the first-person, first-hand accounts banging together and people starting to parse out what really happened and
what really came out in the world.
Yeah, you know, and then, like, the person who would come up and, like, for the longest time, no one would corroborate someone's story, but then a guy came up out of the woodwork to corroborate his story.
Yeah.
You'd be like, wait, was that... Oh! You know?
No, I've got to... Because I remember that there was one that was, like, yeah, nobody believed him, and then he had a, like, childhood picture back in the day when, if he took the time to Photoshop it, he was spending a whole lot more time on it than it would be now.
Back then, Photoshop was analog and needed a crank.
Yeah. Yeah. You had to... Actually, it was better if you put the computer between your legs and had a pedal on both sides.
Well, if you hold it sideways, then the heat disperses better.
Well, you got to pick your poison.
Yeah.
Anyway... Where it was something like he had a childhood picture of himself with this oddball thing that was like, yeah, it was a test market in Ohio around the Kenner plant where they, like, dropped him off at stores from the factory to see if they'd sell. And so they came out, air quotes, and Hasbro had a production number for it, but it was never a full release. So, yes, it came out, and no, it didn't come out.
Yeah. We almost had that in the modern era with Safety Megatron until the picture came out.
Mm-hmm.
There was just this handful of us who were, like, vividly trying to describe this thing that was indescribable.
It was, like, orange and purple and brain cancer causing.
And when you describe it, people, like, rightfully, people are like, wow, you were high. And it's like, no, it really happened. And he was chrome.
Orange and purple colors with yeah, sure. Chrome in there. Did you have mushrooms with your dinner? Like,
yeah, sure,
mushrooms?
Is that when Brian Savage tried to just, like, lace LSD in the food so he could say a prayer before the...
It explains a few things,
in
though.
Joke. Anyway. Omega's Prime, did you find a new picture yet?
Yeah, I've got pictures now.
All right. Well, I want to hear one of them.
I was going to go into the past, too, but then I was reminded of something else that came up earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
Which was the TFC Toys Nemesis Primars.
I kind of like the way that thing looks.
Yeah. Like, I really wish I had picked up the first one, because I really liked the aesthetic that they went for on that super deformed movie Prime.
And Piaw has many times said it's a totally cool toy. Because he's the only guy I know who bought one, off the top of my head.
I kind of wish I bought one, but now I kind of wish... Now I'm kind of glad I didn't, because this thing looks really freaking neat.
Yeah.
I mean... I love the extra mile. I love that not only does he get this big wing backpack to separate him from the original, his big underslung guns, which is awesome. I love that it also works on your large-scale Nemesis.
Yeah, and there was a period where I was like, why are they doing this in the black one? Then I realized that jetpack is based on movie Jetfire, who was black. So it actually makes complete sense to release it with a black Primars.
So goody. More dead parts to strap onto Optimus Primes.
Put it on the evil Optimus. It makes even more sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was already on the evil Optimus in the first place, but...
Well, this is the overtly evil one.
Yeah. I think it looks cool. Apparently it's limited run to 2,000 pieces. And it runs, I want to say 60?
Loading very slowly.
$54.90. Well, plus shipping from China. So, let's just say 60, because you'll pay at least $7.10. Sorry, $5.10.
Math.
Hey, listen, we're going to be talking about my math skills later, alright? Listener question. Yeah, I think this looks cool. I don't know if I'm going to get it, but it is the most tempted I've been by a Primars. I don't know. Omegas, you brought it up. Are you considering this thing?
Quite a bit, actually. At a time where I probably shouldn't be thinking about third-party toys.
Yep. On the bright side, given that it's limited to 2,000 and the pre-order hasn't sold out, I suspect there's a real lukewarm feeling on this, which I hate to say it, but I kind of hope that's true, so I don't have to like rush to get it if I do feel like getting it.
That'd be nice. It'd be nice if I could sit on this for just a little while.
Yeah. I don't know. Aaron, what are your thoughts on Evil Primars?
I think he looks cool. That does a good job of, because it's not the standard just black and teal. It's a different blue that I think still works well for a Evil Prime, and it only really popped to my eye when it was, because it's almost like a purpley blue when in the next photo, then it's on the Nemesis Prime. It's like, ooh, that still looks plenty evil.
It and plays.
Isn't the exact same as every other time. You're like, oh, Evil Prime. Black, red, teal.
Which Thank belongs you. To Scourge.
Thank you, Scourge. But I dig it. I even like, because it looks like from the back photo, the two Gatling guns are at slightly different angles from each other, which makes me think that those might be on a hinge so that he can have guns forward.
Oh, I bet you they are.
In a kind of like, I'm going to hover here with my giant jetpack thing and shoot the heck out of your face with these guns and then this gun and then that gun.
Yeah, the shot of the little Primars, he's holding them, so at the very least they're removable.
Right. And he's holding them in the truly badass way to hold a Gatling gun.
Underslung.
It's underslung.
Of course.
You can just hear those barrels spinning.
You can just hear the heavy metal music. The sugar gun, sugar gun. Linkin Park playing in the background. All I've been. Quick shout out. Had a couple of Linkin Park fans pop up in the thread for a recent podcast and explain why Linkin Park is tied to things, even if it's not super specifically Linkin Park. And apparently Linkin Park are apparently cool guys, so that's neat. I'm glad they're not jerks. By all accounts. Anyway. Sure. My own new picture pick, I'm picking not so much because I like it, but more so because I found myself in a position where I really wish I liked it so I could spite all the people who hate it. This is a new art toy by UME Toys called Scam Wave. It's made, it's 8 inches tall and made out of resin and metal parts. There's also an art print. Basically, it's just a real, like, it looks like the 3D representation of a kind of, like, child drawing of Soundwave, where he's the torso of a cassette player, and he's totally got sticks for limbs. I actually kind of think the aesthetic is neat. I wouldn't buy it unless it was, like, some of that mass-produced super cheap art vinyl, because it's not grabbing me enough. But, hey, I think there is a merit to the aesthetic, but man, do people hate it. and the way they hate it really makes me wish I was more into it, because it's that classic argument of, I don't think it's art, and getting in a fight afterwards. And, you know, if you ever take an art history class, that's basically the history of art. So, no, you're all part of the textbook. I don't know. Omegas, what do you think about Scamwave?
I didn't see this before. Oh, good. Good lord. It looks like Soundwave wandered on to... Oh, jeez, I'm trying to place it.
It's Homeless Soundwave.
No, it looks like you walked on to, like, a Tim Burton claymation movie.
Like Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
Or the guys who actually did more of the stuff on that who always don't get credited for it, and people get real mad about that, and I always forget their names. and I'm part of the problem, apparently. But I see what you mean. That's a cool way to put it. Aaron, how do you feel about Scamwave?
I am feeling uncomfortable with the amount of dislike I am viscerally generating looking at this thing. Because I want to, like, find this and have the creator there, and while he's trying to explain his vision, vomit upon it.
I'm holding you to that. I'm holding you to that. You have to save up one puke.
And then when he looks at me, worried that I may have ingested some bad shrimp, I would look at him, say, no, I'm perfectly healthy. This is just causing a kind of reaction, turn back, look at it, and give it another round of projectile.
So you're digging it, basically.
Let me think what I said. No, that would be the exact opposite of digging it. I don't understand your position, Aaron.
I think Aaron is currently formulating the anti-life equation.
Stop being so complicated and just say if you like it or not.
That's the thing. I try to be open-minded to things, and that's what the discussion that's been happened earlier in the day and getting
Stop
people fired
being
up.
So complicated, Aaron.
And I'm like, no.
I'm tired of your riddles.
I understand art toys in a way, and this looks like very little. Is it a 5-year-old that did this? I don't know.
You're dragging me around a bush by one of my ears and leading me on with my other ear. I don't understand what you're saying, Aaron. Do you like it or not?
No.
What?
I do not.
I don't. What?
No,
you're confusing me.
I think I can settle down to I don't like it.
What? I don't understand. All right. Well, hopefully someone out there in the listenership understood what Aaron was talking about and what his position is on this, because I don't. But Aaron, are you going to pre-order Scamwave?
I'm upset that my trash bucket has holes in the side of it. That's going to make a mess.
Well, you noticed before you did it, and that's already more foresight than a couple people out there. Let me tell you.
Think of it this way. When it sprays out the holes, it will create something more beautiful than this
thing. It'll create an interesting art pattern, and I'll take a picture of that, make a print of it, and then make a super blocky vinyl toy out of the print of the picture of the vomit out of the bucket with holes in it.
The best part of this is that honestly, just imagine it. Like, if you actually puked into a trash bucket, and then as you were doing it, realized there were holes in the side... Like, imagine that, like, you're stuck now.
So then you have
now.
The spray through the house as you're trying to get it, like, a bathroom, but you're still vomiting.
I think most people would just give up, because you're stuck. It's already coming out. It's coming out of the trash can as it's coming out of you. You're stuck. There's no way you're going to be able to just reach down and pick that thing up in the middle of doing all that. Like, you just have to sit there looking at it knowing that, you know, that, oh, wow, I can't stop this horrible thing. And
this already requires a large towel. There's no point in slowing it now.
Do you see why I wish I was more into Scamwave? Because I love how mad it makes people. And truthfully, I actually think the art print looks better than the physical toy. I kind of like the art print, and I was a little disappointed when I saw photos of the physical piece.
I think that's where my violent dichotomy is coming from, because the art print, I get that it's like an artistic style thing. When you turn it into 3D and go that far off of the base style of something,
there's something missing. The head, primarily, it just doesn't. The head doesn't give me the same feeling the art print gives me. The head is trying too hard to be cool.
Yeah, it's trying too hard to be a spin off of a spin type thing.
Well, I mean, literally, it feels to me like the head is actually trying to be a cool robot head. And what works about the art print is his head is just as dumpy as his torso. And I think the art print's really cool.
The art print kind of has like maybe an Iron Giant-y feel to it.
Well, yeah, it's got a better posture too, because he's all his limbs are ramrod straight on this physical piece, and in the art print they're kind of ramrod straight till you get to the blockier parts, and there's a little just a hint of a curve that gives it that character. So I really really wanted to be into this, but I actually I think that this looks like it could have been done better. And I mean that in the context of the art print, not in the context of Aaron and his trash can, what is not very good for puking in. I just imagine the dogs coming in and just looking at you like, oh no.
Oh, I know my dogs.
And you're turning back and looking at them like, help me. And they're just like, no. And these quietly turn around and walk out of the room. Still coming out of the trash can.
Ooh, fountain.
How big are the holes?
Oh, they're small. They're
so it would filter small, all
smaller,
the chunk.
Smaller than a wood, like a wooden number two pencil.
So it would filter the chunk.
Yes.
So only the spray would come out, and then so you'd have two messes to deal with.
Yep.
This beautiful conversation we're having here. Anyway, those are our new picture picks. Next up, we're going to deal with a listener question. And if you felt uncomfortable with our vivid descriptions of Aaron's hypothetical vomit spray, you ain't heard nothing yet. This listener question comes to us from Tubbs C on August 29, 2013, and I certainly hope I haven't oversold this. I don't know what you guys think about that. I think I kept it pretty subtle on the level. This listener question is, quote, "So here's a question that might make you uncomfortable because guys are white, except Chris, because he got Asian in his Caucasian. But do you ever attribute, quote-unquote, race to certain Transformers? I'm not saying, like, Starscream being a Jew because he's sneaky or something racist like that, but like Jazz being black because of his voice and love of hip-hop," end quote. So, Aaron, you're white?
Apparently, 'cause guy, yes.
Are you a racist who attributes race to Transformers like a racist?
You see, the thing is, there's something very important to remember about Transformers.
What?
Okay. There are natural sparks, and there are cold cast sparks. And I'm not saying that they're not equal, but they should be separated.
Well, they should. I mean, cold casts have that stupid drawl.
Yeah, and the fact that, I mean, the things that they're into.
And a lot of cold casts don't shower. I mean, you can smell them when they're coming, you know?
Yeah.
And if they stay on their bus, then my bus wouldn't smell like them.
If they stayed as a bus.
Yeah, exactly. Well, who want to ride in a cold cast? Well, that's like,
I mean, you let the other cold casts ride
the
in
things
the cold cast.
Crawling around inside a cold cast, let me tell you. Yeah. Nice and squeaky clean, like a properly forged. Omegas Prime, are you a racist?
No.
Well, are you white?
Last I checked.
Well, you can't have one without the other, so I'm giving you a choice here.
Can we go back to talking about Aaron's hate vomit?
Let me tell you about Penny Arcade now. Yeah, I don't...
No, you see, no. See, I attribute Transformers as Transformers, you know? Because, you know, okay, yeah, you talk about Jazz, he's had three voice actors. They are all African-American. But that does not mean the character necessarily is, just because the voice actor is, nor just because they attribute certain aspects to said characters. It is just a personality. You see white guys acting like that just as much.
I wanted to yell something about race identity to continue being a bother during this question, but I need to actually Wikipedia what that means, so... Excuse me for a moment.
Point is, Transformers is this little creation, it's this little piece of fiction where, you know, even in gender, they don't actually have them. Right?
Well, it depends on your continuity, technically.
Depends on your continuity, technically.
Because in animated, there are boy and girl robots. In the G1 comic, they made girl robots to appease protest groups, if I recall correctly.
Uh-huh.
In the IDW comic books, Transformers are an asexual race who had one of their number turned into a woman, which caused others to just start acting as though they have always had pronouns like she, which I thought was a super interesting story, which got pretty much, I think, sort of just dropped. Yeah, and that kind of bummed me out.
She went crazy, had G-axis on a place where she could murder him and he'd self-recitate or something, and got her frustration out that way, but mostly off-screen.
That's part of why I was really sticking with R.I.D., other than the fact that I thought it was actually just... it was a totally okay book that was just outshone constantly. Mm-hmm. But it was also a place where finally R.C. was getting written again, and, you know, It wasn't always amazing, but there were some hints of some really cool stuff in there, and I was happy about that. I was like, finally, like, IWRC is still a thing. But yeah, I think
my point really is that Transformers themselves are a race in of themselves. They are one race where everyone is different colors, everyone has different beliefs and personalities and attitudes, and all of them are individual while still being one single race. That said, Flyers are superior.
What about what's your take on Cybertronians versus Velocitrons?
Even get me started. Don't
freaking Velocitronians. They are all stoners, let me tell you. Go near a Velocitron and you could smell the space pot on their clothes, on the seat they're sitting on. I mean, depending on the voice actor, in my mind, I might like if you hear a way of speaking that sounds racially driven. Hey, maybe that voice actor is from a race, but I don't know if I really. Because this is sort of an introspective question, because it's more so about, do I attribute race to somewhat insubstantial or shallow things? I mean, naturally, you know, when someone is British, I assume they're evil, because that's what media taught me when I was growing up.
Yes.
They're either evil, or they're smart, or they're probably both, because smart people generally, if they're not a girl, they're evil. But I don't know. It's hard to say. Because, you know, Jazz being the perfect example, you know, he does, I guess, feel like a character of particular ethnicity because all of his voice actors came from a similar back. I don't know. It's not something that I really hold as integral to the character called Jazz. Perhaps it's something that runs through my mind when I am experiencing the character called Jazz in spoken media. I'm not sure. And like, there is actually a really interesting question here about, you know, just how one perceives things in the media. But that involves a whole bunch of thinking, so I'd rather just continue accusing you guys of being racist. So, Aaron, as a white man, I just wanted to say, Aaron, as a white man, I don't have anything to add to that.
Okay.
What's your answer to this question, if this question was posited towards you with less of a horrible smile on my face?
There's not race. Certain voice actors get certain roles that affect the portrayal, you know, the way that an actor and a writer both develop a character. And if you have a guy that plays a character with a certain accent, intonation, maybe word choice to define it in a certain way, and then it gets defined that way, then maybe they have characteristics of it. However, I don't think that there's any race in it. And I don't know. This is one of those questions that often the people that seem as if they're most concerned about races or appearing racist are racist, even if they're trying to say that they're not.
Here come the racist police.
Yeah, why can't everybody just be cool with everybody? Why we gotta divide? Why we gotta make isms and you don't understand me because you didn't accidentally cut your toenail a little bit short and stub your toe this morning, so how can you understand true pain?
You know whose fault it is? The white man. Yeah. That's why over here...
I trimmed my toenail a little bit too short this morning and then stubbed it and feels the pain, and I'm white and a male, so then it must be my... Wait, what was I saying?
Divorcing this from Transformers to a degree is actually something that I have thought about many times, because I grew up in a super white part of Canada, primarily white and Asian, so I had it kind of all just kind of mushed together into this sort of, like, I guess, vaguely tinted whitewash. And one of the most frustrating things about actually going out into the world was, early on, and I still try to see if I do it, and I hate it when it happens, I do take note of people's ethnicities upon sight. Not in a good way or a bad way, it just is something that is like a tick mark in my head, because for the longest time, I rarely saw people who were of an identifiable ethnicity where I grew up. And let me tell you how frustrating it is to not be able to just switch that off. Because I don't like it. And it still happens. And it bums me out. So that's part, it's all part of moving on to the evolved state of humanity, I think, is being able to remove that checkbox and look at the global community that is the planet Earth, or, you know, that is most of the planet Earth, and hopefully eventually will be more of planet Earth as time goes on and people stop, you know, trying to kill each other. What I'm trying to say is that I have to do this podcast with two, you know, obvious racists, and...
Yeah, he's a Floridian. I mean, come on.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, jeez. Hey, Omega's Aaron's from Indiana.
Jeez, even I got away from there.
Yeah. Hey, at least we're not Kentucky.
Listen, it's hard living in Kentucky, okay?
That's what it says when you cross the Ohio River, all right?
Stop picking on me because I'm from Kentucky. That's Canada, right?
No.
Oh. Aw, oh, crap. Here come the biker gangs.
Yeah, they're trying to get out of Dodge now, too.
It's just like Grand Theft Auto behind
Everyone's getting out of here because they're like, oh, no, they're talking about that whole list of things, what got everyone mad this week, and now they're talking about race in media. It's perfect. This is going to go... They're all just clearing out. Even the racist police left. Racism police are. The racist police are, you know, they're asleep right now. It's really dark outside. Like, there's usually more lights on out there. Weird. I guess thanks for the question. I feel like something needs to be said in addition to everything we said, but I don't know what it is other than, yo, let's all, you know, make it part of your New Year's resolution. Be cool to other people.
Why do we gotta wait for New Year's?
Because we don't make listen, I know you're a white guy, okay? But we don't make resolutions when it's not the New Year. That's just not done. Not in this global household. Sorry, I'm trying really hard to get over guys are white. And I can't. Aaron, help!
No, you keep trying to walk out and then just turning and heading right back into it.
I can't stop grinning, and I've been trying not to laugh.
I am impressed that you didn't need multiple takes to get through the reading of the question.
Asian in my Caucasian. Did I ever tell the story on the podcast about the racist guy that... Wait, what are you laughing about?
You didn't get Asian in your Caucasian. Mama Ho did.
Huh? What do you... Anyway, did I ever tell the story?
I was trying to hide it before hitting the mute button. All right.
Did I ever tell the story about the racist guy I met in New York Fries?
Not in New York Fries. I just remember the guy looking for the half Asian strippers.
No, that's okay. This is a true story that happened to me in Victoria in the Eaton Center food court. There's a New York Fries, and I went there to buy fries because I was having one of those days where you sigh and you go and buy French fries from New York Fries. And that New York Fries was not a very good place. But I walk up and I want to order my thing. I pay with Interac, with debit. And at the time, everyone was getting cards with chips on them, but I still had my old debit card that only had a magnetic stripe. So I go, he offers me the thing to stick it in, and I'm like, the card. And I'm like, oh, sorry, I got to swipe this. He's like, oh, I thought all you Asians had the newest technology. And so I'm kind of like, that's the kind of thing where I don't believe you can be offended because it's not something that real people say. So I'm kind of laughing, and I'm like, yeah, well, you know, mine's still in the mail. It's on the way from China, though. And the guy's like, yeah. And so as he's making the fries, he's like, so why is it that all Asian girls have high-pitched voices? And I'm like, well, you see, it's because along with, you know, tying their feet so they have small feet, what we do is we also inject helium in them, you know, while they're growing up, so they have the trademark Asian high-pitched voice. Otherwise, how do we know they're Asian girls, you know? And I'm kind of also in the back of my mind going, like, this is the only way I can deal with this situation, because I want my damn fries.
Yeah.
But is this, like, and I'm looking around, like, is there a camera somewhere? Because this can't possibly be really happening.
There's like, a funniest video moment's going to happen, right? Kid's going to come out and get...
Right.
Kick his grandpa in the junk, and everybody's going to laugh, and then I'll get my share of $10,000.
So then the guy comes up, and he's like, yeah, man, but man, you Asians are smart, huh? And so I'm like, at this point, I'm like, well, I got to pull out the big guns now, And I gotta just lay out on the table what I'm doing. Otherwise, like, I gotta know if this guy understands that I think he's being a colossal ass. And I'm making fun of him for my own. So I just go like, well, yeah, you know, I'm going to UVic right now. I'm in the sciences. I'm actually working on a machine to enhance the Asian mind so we can do better mathematics. And it's called the Yellow Thunder. It's basically a giant brain engine powered by Wushu rice. And it does math super fast. And it enhances our Asian minds so we can do math super fast. And I, to this day, I don't know if the guy understood that I was making fun of him. Because at that point, my fries were done. But that was a conversation.
Get out of there.
That was a conversation that actually happened to me in real life with someone that I don't know. So, yeah. I always forget that story for, like, months at a time, and then something happens where it pops back in my mind, and I feel I have to share it with everyone.
Yeah, it's odd that I don't think you've ever told that story before.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, no, because I remember, I thought the guy would get it when I said that my magic math machine was called the Yellow Thunder, and I don't think he did.
He's just checking the patent office, paranoid as hell, every day.
I mean, who goes like, oh, I thought you'd have the newer bank card, what with you being Asian and on top of all the technology? I mean, like, who seriously has that pop in their head as, I'm going to say this to this complete stranger? I mean, Grant, I guess I'm answering my own question. Yeah. I probably would. But, nonetheless, man, that was weird. Anyway, don't be a bigot. I know one of you in the back is just trying to walk out the room right now, listener. Yeah, you. We're going to talk about some Transformers 4. Is this really spoilers? I don't think this is spoilers.
Name?
If to the point of not even wanting to know the name of the movie you're afraid of spoilers, then yes, perhaps you should spool on from here. But we had, in my opinion, one of the first true, like, solid pieces of movie news in a while that wasn't just this car is on set. And we got the name of the movie. So Transformers is going to be called Age of Extinction. And the movie poster is a bunch of sand blowing off of the number 4 and half a Decepticon symbol. And the movie's coming out on June 27th, 2014. Apparently there was a debacle because the first time we saw this poster, it used the European date method and everyone got all crazy, crazy confused.
What's the 27th month?
Yeah, well, so I never saw that poster. I only saw the one that said 6/27/14, and I was like, how did anyone get confused by this? And then I found out later that this wasn't the one, because I was like, guys, it's not 2006, and 2027's a far way away, and there is no 27th month. But that's not how it went down. There was one that said 10/7/14.
Yeah, it was 10/7/14. Yeah.
And so for just a second, I thought that maybe the entire fandom had become crazy and dumb. But as we all know, the fandom is full of very intelligent people who have a very good grip on reality and priorities. Apparently, there's also subtle hints of claw marks and a footprint in this, and I can't see it, man.
That or blown sand.
You're crazy.
I know, I do that so much.
You gotta stop being so salty, Aaron. I mean, you're flipping out over footprints in the sand. I mean, so Aaron, what does this poster tell you about the movie?
As I heard someone else say, they're going for a very Marvel naming scheme. Age of something. It has an X in it. I think it was Jared, maybe, that said that.
I guess. Yeah, I guess.
Age of Magneto, Age of Extinction.
Is that, do they have a movie called Age of Magneto coming out?
No, not a movie.
No, okay. There's Age of Apocalypse.
Age of Apocalypse. There's a lot of blank of blank.
Friggin' particles. Particles? What am I thinking of?
Participles?
Articles. I don't know.
Articles?
I forgot grammar.
No.
I'm one of the dumb, crazy ones. Can you not take any other plot inferences from this poster?
No.
Okay.
It's the first teaser poster. It's not even a thing. It's just the very first round of getting Salivating going and kind of... And it, I guess they had announced... Had they announced the actual date before?
No, I don't think so.
So this is maybe kind of the first announcement of when it's going to be...
There was
at least in print
there,
and
wasn't there
form.
A 4 with a date on it some other time, or am I thinking of something?
Maybe
else?
I don't know. There's so much of this stuff I've glossed
movie
over.
Movie news is so memorable.
Yeah, know, because yeah. It's just silly, not news.
Hey, let's just briefly dip into some slightly more spoilery news. Set picks. There is a car and a gunship and a car and a truck. Watch out. I don't know.
Ruining everything.
Omega's Prime, do you have an imagination from which to draw some plot inference from the clear... I mean, the whole movie's laid out in this poster.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, clearly this is a Transformers beach flick.
Yeah. There's going to be shorts. There's going to be inflatable rubber balls. It's also going to be inflatable rubber balls, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's also going to be a dog who humps a dog that's humping a dog.
That's humping
a
robot.
It's basically Bumblebee Spring Break.
Yeah.
You know? See RC pulling her chassis up.
Whoa, hey, hold on. We don't talk about things that are not suitable. This is a child-friendly podcast. We talk about racism and the state of Russia. We don't talk about lifting chassis. Thank you.
Fine.
I'm already not sure about using the word extinction out loud, because, you know, that implies that things have gone extinct. So, that's a poster.
It's a poster, a name, and some numbers.
I'm going to ask you guys, start off with you, Aaron. Is there any movie news that caught you that was really standout and gripped you?
No.
It's kind of like
shooting,
a new pick.
They were shooting in a Walgreens.
Well, there's so much we can say from that. There was actually
or something.
There are a couple spoilers that popped up through video game names and stuff, but I'm not excited to talk about them.
Even hitting video games, how do you know that's a thing? Because how much stuff happened in all the video game things were even ever
in the video games, Keith David was Barricade, and it was fantastic. And then he wasn't, and I didn't care about Barricade as much. I still like Barricade in hindsight. Omegas, was there any movie news that caught your eye that you kind of feel like chatting about?
Trying to double check to see if it got shot down or not, because something came up.
Because there was a thing about what's his name saying some characters not in the movie.
Dino and Sideswipe apparently not making the cut this time.
Well, you know, have we ever seen Jolt again? I mean, like, I don't think it's new for characters to kind of just, like, pop in and out of existence between the last three movies.
There was those two that looked alike. What's their names?
Something like that.
I don't know.
I mean, and also, we're saying all this with the caveat of, I don't know if the Transformers, you know, production team still is operating under the whole thing of, like, misdirection means we're just going to tell lies leading up to the movie. So
see, that I'd almost prefer that, just like everybody. No, if you see a guy from the media, tell him we're bringing back
I'm not against it. I'm not against them just upright saying stuff that's not going to happen.
And Jetfire is going to be molded into Unicron, who's part of the Fallen. Yeah, it's going to be the biggest.
Okay, the thread's still alive. No one seems to have shot this down.
Apparently, did I miss, there was a reality show that chose 4 actors in China to join the Transformers 4 cast?
That sounds like something, but...
That's a super specific reality show.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want spoilers that came up, a head appeared on set.
We talked about a head with a beard. The big chicken scratch right now that everyone's flipping out about is Dinobots keep coming up. But, I mean, without seeing anything, I don't know what that really means. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't really have much to say other than, like, yo, dinosaurs, maybe.
Sure is maybe a thing, possibly.
I mean, like, yeah, I mean, imagine a robot T-Rex in the movie aesthetic. That might happen. Okay. In my mind, if I'm in a good mood, it looks fantastic, and if I'm in a bad mood, it looks terrible, and I hate the live-action movies. But if I'm in a good mood, I'm cautiously optimistic. I don't know. I got nothing. I got no solid ground to operate from. And I think I expended all of my make-stuff-up juice during Transformers 2 and 3. Didn't even, like, partway through 3, I just run out of it. Like, I remember in 3, I was really excited about Russia, and that's all I remember being excited about.
Yeah,
And Glenn Morshower's not an option anymore, so, I mean, all of my creativity has been stifled by cold, hard reality. I don't know. But we talked about Transformers 4, so we've done that again for a month. And, yeah. Guys, I think it's time for an intermission. Unless there are any other pressing matters in regards to the live-action movies that we need to cover.
No, I think we're good.
All right. No. Well, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and talk about what we got this week, which will hopefully have no piercing content about racial identities or the state of the human condition. I kid. Just wait till we talk about what I got this week.
We have company.
We do indeed.
Why are you following me?
We were already here.
Why are you following us?
Aperitif. You missed.
You'll find the going tough enough without squandering your friends.
Or your ammunition. Missed. Missed again. 4 out of 5. Another miss. And a miss.
We can afford to do this all day.
The question is, can you?
So now's the time where I should probably mention, I've been doing this podcast, like, next to an open window this entire time. So, I'd like...
Don't worry, nothing got through.
I'd like to thank the entire neighborhood for being my audience, as I talk about, you know, the perils of the white man and whatnot. We're gonna talk about what we got this week. Aaron.
Yeah?
You're a white guy.
Yes, I am.
That's all.
Okay.
Hey, Aaron, what did you get this week?
I picked up the IDW Megatron.
How is yours?
I appear to be fine. I've transformed him a couple times, and I'm not seeing any crazy stress marks. I can definitely see why it would happen, because this is, like, sparkly plastic, and that is in the same kind of realm as gold plastic for being problem-causing. But I dig him. I can definitely see where things are potentially going to be issues, and have tried to be genteel about handling this toy.
Genteel?
But, yes. I talk very nice to him. Very nice. No, that's like Borat, not Southern. Whatever.
Oh, man, Borat. I forgot about that. That was a thing.
Yeah, that was. But no, I dig it. I'm a fan of flying wing airplanes, and the way that he kind of balls up well and then loses the wingtips is impressive.
Yeah, his transformation is super cool. I'm glad yours does not have already, like, stress marks or anything. Update on mine, who I've transformed a few more times. He's still in the same shape he was last time I talked about him.
Right.
So I think I lucked out. And I know between Aaron, yourself, and, you know, a couple other people, it seems like it's not a 1 in a million chance to get one that doesn't have stuff wrong with it, but it does seem like I don't know if I can say which is more common yet.
Yeah, I'm thinking it may just be a 50-50, like there's something that can go wrong, and when it does, it causes all kinds of problems. The biggest thing I've kind of had issue with is it seems like there are a lot of things that are panels that don't necessarily need to be, like the way that his his shin has a piece that flares out that doesn't seem like it needs to flare out for anything.
Well, I mean, we talked about these guys in that the round. You know what it's trying to do, at least, right?
Like, it's trying to make him more impressive. Like, he has bigger, stockier legs, but even with just the flat sided, it looks fine. I don't know. It's something that I can see why the design choice is there. I think it's just bringing more pieces into the mix that may cause additional problems. That's what causes a little bit more of the issues that go on.
Well, I think in part it's especially people who don't use instructions, and I know I tried to do this, is that it looks more like something you're supposed to close up behind the leg.
Yeah,
if you try doing that too long, you're going to break something because it's not paper thin, but pulling it back like that puts tons of stress on everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing like with the seemingly extra jointage in the shoulders.
Yeah.
Or in the pecs, where it's, you know, there's a whole lot other stuff that can go out and around, but in reality it's just, you know, it just needs to move a little bit to fill out, so.
But are you, I mean, granted, it probably helps that you got one who's not all, you know, breaking down, but are you enjoying the figure overall? Do you feel it was a worthwhile purchase?
Yeah, I do. The thing I had issue with is he had one eye.
Huh?
The silver of the paint, there was a fleck or something that had gotten over the eye that I had to take the point of a knife. It was like, I don't know if it was over paint or what the deal was, because it came off very easily.
But
that
it was sounds like splatter.
Yeah, it's like there was a little bit of splatter left on the face that just didn't get cleaned up.
Oh, that would bum
me
out so much to have, like, a physically nice one and then, like, notice the eye thing.
Yeah, I was like, what?
It's like, I don't want to return this.
It was, seriously, I took the tip of an X-Acto and just went like,
I'd be so relieved if that actually worked like that. Because then I'd be like, all right, I don't have to, like, scrape it off and try to smooth out the eye afterwards.
But, no, he has a good bulk to him, and going back and rereading the comic book made me appreciate this body that they've already trashed and moved on from.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, well, it's what happens when... Because that's the one thing I would like to know now, is if the comics were based on, hey, we're going to do this line of toys, or if there were a line of spotlights that all were really cool, so they got toys. Because the decision time would have been that far out.
I want to say that the spotlights were written for the toys, because there were all the reports of James Roberts having to work with writing for a toy.
Yeah. I think I remember that now, yeah. That way, it's like, okay, I can get it.
I guess the one question I got for you is, it's two-parter. What do you think of the fusion cannon or railgun, gimmick, and how is the paint holding up on the railgun?
I like it. I like that combined they're locked in and moved together the same way that, like, Predaking's guns, heads, things was. And the paint seems to be holding well. I've not worked it and beaten it against things to try and test it.
I didn't have to do that. Sigh.
No. It's a place that looks a little bit off when he's as a jet, because the paint isn't quite the same as the plastic.
Although they got the sparkle in there.
They got sparkle in there, and it's close. I think it is because it's the translucent plastic, a little bit of light around it makes it look different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that also may have to do with the thickness of the paint, like right down to the micrometer. Sorry, micrometer.
Oh, micrometer. Micrometer is the thing that measures.
Oh, God.
You want to pull science? You want to pull science? Did you see the thing that I linked that I want people to buy me for Christmas?
No. The typing begins immediately. Wilson, typing is happening. Omega's quick check-in. How's your Megatron doing?
Haven't really had the chance to goof with it since, it has not fallen apart or self-destructed in any way.
Okay, that's good. Sans-air? I feel like I need to do Megatron check-ins now that we all have them.
Sorry, no, these we'll BS and off topic so that people can get their robot fixed.
No, beforehand. No, I mean, give me the elevator pitch. What does this do in 50 words or less?
Sans Air lets you turn any vessel under 5 gallons into a sous vide cooker.
Okay.
So how I make science steaks, you take this thing, you clip the side in it, you put the temperature that you want down to the 10th of a degree, and it has a heating element and a water impeller in there to keep the water going, whereas my method is, like, boil a bunch of water and then put it in and try and get the temperature right between hot water and cold water to get the temperature you want, and then close the cooler so that the temperature stays about the same. This thing can be open air, and it will keep it all at the temperature that you set. It would give you, like I said, 10th of degree control on your...
I really don't like scrolling up and down on the site.
Yeah, the site's messed up. It's to promote their Kickstarter that still runs for
a few hours. They tried extremely hard to build a fancy site, and they tried just a bit too hard, I think.
Yeah.
It's trying to have like it's trying to have the title of a section stay on the top and blah blah, and it's kind of working, but it's all kind of janked. And
as we're recording, it has mere hours left for the Kickstarter, and then they're doing the basically making Kickstarter now at this point the pre-order, and then
I feel super weird about that, even though it makes total sense.
Yeah,
I feel really weird about just straight up going like pre-order it on Kickstarter. That feels like it's. I mean, we all know that's what it's like for people, but it feels like it's pushing it a little.
Well, I guess this thing hit its kickstart with its $100,000 goal, and they've sold 700,000 or 790,000. So
yeah,
it's something that was like, hey, we need this money to get it going, and then after they had it, they're like, okay, they threw in stretch goals for, I think it was like,
okay, so yeah, I see the
international plugs.
At least they had stretch goals.
A few other things to be like, oh, okay, it's still going. Apparently, this is a thing that's cool, and now it's guaranteed to be made. So this is the best way to start getting them out there. And then when we go to sell it later, anybody that kickstarted, because I think you can get it through their site now too. But anybody that kickstarted it, like, hey, you're the cool dudes that help us do things. You're going to be the ones that we make sure that it gets out to first. So it's kind of a pre-order, but you know, whatever.
Well, Sans Air aside, the elevator's now landed on my floor, and now I know what it is. Aaron, did you get any other Transformers this week?
Nope.
Oh. Would you buy a Sans Air Transformer?
As long as it worked as a sous vide cooker, yes.
Okay. Noted.
I can introduce you to some pressure cooker shaped transforming toys out of China.
Yeah, pressure cooker is completely different thing, son. You don't want to start this game.
Ooh, is this a new thing? Is this a new thing I can do?
Not terribly. Pressure cooking's different than sous vide cooking.
They
have similar goals in changing the method of cooking from open air. One atmosphere. But
I mean, is this a new thing I can do whereby I walk up to you on Twitter and I say, yo, Aaron, are you making any of them pressure-cooked science steaks?
No, because you could do it in a pressure cooker as well.
Okay. I just want to know if it's a new button I can push.
No. You can do a whole lot of interesting things with the pressure cooker. That's how come the Colonel can get his chicken so crispy, because he's pressure-frying it.
I'm still noting this. I'm adding this to the arsenal. All right, Omega's Prime.
Mm-hmm.
What Transformers did you get, and would they work in a pressure cooker?
They would, but I don't think they'd come out too tender.
It'd
be there a long time.
That's on the chef's shoulders, not the tools. Aaron, you got my back on this one?
A little column B. If you give Chef poor tools, it's going to be a whole lot harder to work.
Well,
if all these guys have a hibachi grill and a turkey deep fryer, yeah.
Oh, you can do some things with a hibachi grill on a turkey deep fryer.
Oh, gee.
Maybe not what you want done with it, but you can get some things done.
I'm going to give you a T-Fowl act to fry, one potato, and a bunch of steak gristle. Impress me.
Gristle or fat?
I'll give you a bit of both.
Okay, because with the fat, you can get a whole lot of flavor.
All right.
Depending on how much, I'd say, like, do it up and...
I'm writing this down, by the way.
Okay. You could do some, like, hash browns with it, like some, like, greasy spoon diner-style hash browns.
Wait a second.
Kind of, like, burnt a little bit, but then the inside's kind of raw, so you get the crunch, but then the...
You're tricking me. I'm still standing on the elevator, and I'm holding the open door button.
You know you want this.
I need to close this door. I need to push this other button. I need to be the jerk who pushes the closed door button with someone standing right there. I hate doing that. I feel horrible. Omega's Prime, did you get any Transformers this week?
Oh my god, I love it. A couple remolds, one not so interesting and one fairly interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The not interesting one is I randomly happened to obtain a Twin Twist.
All right.
But I will admit, after owning that mold three times in green, it's nice to see it in blue.
And the head is apparently really cool.
Yeah, the head is nice. The head is nice. For some reason, with it being in blue, it reminds me more of something you actually see in a video game, which actually kind of ironic considering the other one is in a video game.
Yeah, video games, blue versus orange.
Fight.
That's the other thing. The orange deco actually does really help that toy. Yeah, I will give it that because it's got these huge sweeping patterns of paint on it.
I looked at Gerardimus' Ruination now and then at TFCon, and I was really kind of... It was an eye-catcher. It was poppy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's still not bad. The thing that bugs me is that... that drill. Because so much of that drill is done so well. It's got this... It's got the spin motor gimmick in it. It spins up both of the drills, and the button for it is disguised as an extra gun that sits on top of the drills, and it's a brilliant thing to do for the Switch.
This all sounds like good.
Yeah, well, then there's the part where you have to stick it on top of the tank.
Aww.
on top of the tank, where the barrel and the front of the tank stick out farther than the drills, thus rendering them moot.
There must be a way, with all the accessories all those guys have, to just assemble something that'll let the drill stick out the front.
Here's where it hurts. Follow me here?
Mm-hmm.
If the drill was just a millimeter narrower, just a little bit, it would fit in the groove in the front of the tank perfectly.
So what you're saying is get my file ready for whenever I inevitably get this Twin Twist.
Possibly.
All right.
It really is that close. You wedge it in there, and you can kind of friction it in place, but it untabs a little bit. And what bugs me is there are tabs there. There's tabs in the front and the inside section of that tank mode. And it's like, it would not have taken much thought to just go put two grooves in this drill.
Oh, so what you're saying is get a knife. Place. Cut the grooves in.
Okay, if you just want to do damage, you don't need to justify it. Just go.
I just like knifing things.
It's free.
I was programmed this way.
It's disappointing because it seems like it would have taken so little thought to actually make that like a concrete concept. And when you do, like, just when you set the drill inside there, it doesn't quite work, but it looks like a completely different vehicle. Like, if it plugged in and if it was made to do that, it would be beautiful.
Hmm. That still sounds inspiring to me. Like, it sounds like it's the what do you call it? The road work is there to mod it.
Yeah, you might have to be a little bit clever because, well, if you file that drilled too much, you get into the gearing and it'd be messy.
I hate it when I get in the gearing.
Nah, I bet you do. I mean, other than that, it's still the Brawl mold, so you know, for me, it's probably the weakest of the five.
Yeah, I feel that way too.
Ah, well.
It's going to load up floor polish in that ankle, and then I can deal with it.
Supposedly, I have an impactor on the way. So I might accidentally have ruination at some point.
Or you can just have a one-legged, armless ruination and be the unique one.
See, that sounds right, though. Ruination.
Yeah.
Post-Furman ruination.
Beyond that, the other remold I got was the... Okay, how are we signifying the club's subscription toys this week?
The Transformers figure subscription service. 1.2.
Is that 1.2 or 1.3?
Depends which figure.
1.2.
Yeah, I thought okay. So.
Mm-hmm. Got me a Slipstream.
How is Slipstream in person?
Actually really, really nice. Like, at first you look at that head and you go, well, that's not too different from the head. That still looks like Starscream. But that's when it clicks. Something will click in your head when you see it in person. It looks like Starscream because it's based on G1 Starscream, the same way animated Slipstream was.
Mm-hmm.
But that isn't Prime Starscream. So it is still a completely new head on that mold. It's a familiar head, but it's a different kind of familiar than what's supposed to be on there.
Hmm.
So it's a little bit of a mental illusion.
I am really looking forward to seeing one in person in a way where I can hold it and turn the head left and right and stuff.
It does work. I mean, it suits the body, and it still looks like a very female head.
Yeah.
I do think it's one of those that doesn't quite photograph as well as you'd think it should.
Hmm.
But beyond that, I mean, it's a really beautiful paint job. I mean, the mold really works for the gender swap. And all the joints are still firm enough that you can kind of fudge the transformation and take the hunch out.
Hmm.
And that makes the world a difference. It takes all that creepiness in that design and actually makes it look feminine.
Yeah, I've been on the fence about Slipstream. Very easy figure to decide to pass on for now, because I just don't really feel like dropping all the cash, but yeah, I was looking at it, I was like, And like I said before, I'm glad that it turned out better than the photos made it look.
Oh yeah. It was one of those toys where every time I pick up that first edition Starscream again, it's like, for some reason, I have amnesia for that mold. It's like, oh, right, this is a really good toy. Oh, I completely forgot.
I have that exact thing with a certain figure, and I cannot remember which now off the top of my head. But I know the feeling you're talking about. We're like, oh, right, this is a good toy. I forgot I own this.
Because this is the third time I've picked it up.
Yeah. I had that with first edition Cliffjumper for a while. Because it was just like, it was the timing of when I got him, where I got him, and then I got really busy. And so I'd keep picking up, going like, oh, right, this is a good toy.
Yeah.
Cool. So you're 2 for 2 on them SS toys now.
Yeah, but that's probably as far as that is going. I had a working arrangement with Visible Ninja, who was providing these, and he cut off after those two.
Yeah, I'm just about done with my relationship with those. Slipstream aside, because I kept forgetting which, but I've had Jackpot secured via Pajama Prime for a while now. I just kept forgetting, and then remembering, and then forgetting if it was Jackpot or Circuit. And I think I'm going to be picking up a Circuit from a friend. I don't know if he wants me to say. I think I'm buying it off him on Friday, so tomorrow. And Jackpot and Circuit were kind of like, they're the ones that finish off my interest in this current subscription line. Because all we got left after Jackpot would be Breakdown and Mammoth, right?
Yeah, Breakdown and Ultra Mammoth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ultra Mammoth I almost had interest in a few times, and every time I look at him more, I'm just kind of like, I've got the best version of it, and it's called Nemesis Prime.
Yeah.
And I don't need one that's not as good as Nemesis Prime. And
every time I look at Ultra Mammoth, I go, okay, that's almost Optimus Primal clever. And then my brain just immediately starts laughing because it still looks kind of silly.
He doesn't have blood all over him like Nemesis Prime.
No.
And you know what? I don't mean no disrespect to that breakdown. It's a good breakdown head, but somehow making it G1 sucked all the excitement for that toy out of
yeah.
it.
Yeah, it's the fact that you make that second,
and because like the G2 one as a standalone figure, there's just something magical about that whole arrangement.
Yeah,
and then having him by himself in his G1 colors is just like, well, that sure is him.
That's the thing.
Well, because if you make the toy into, like, the mascot of BotCon, like, the character of BotCon, that is, like, an amazing thing. Like, even he has a classics toy now, and then you just make him into his G1 colors, it's like, yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, my reaction to it is, that's a logical decision, and that's about it. I know there are people jazzed for that figure, and I'm glad that they're jazzed for it, because they're going to be happy probably when they get it. It's a good head sculpt, so, you know. But I already got it in the better colors. And are those all the Transformers you did this week?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, I just got a couple little things to talk about. I'm trying to avoid talking about things I haven't really quote unquote like played with properly. But I don't know when I'm going to get around to actually putting this together. Probably in the next either the next week or the next rest of the year. Thanks to a Scottish man named Al. I don't know if you've heard of him. He often presses the Boardwise deployment button. I've never seen him and Boardwise in the same place, but
you're not saying they're the same person. But
no way. Boardwise is a force of nature. Al's just some guy from Scotland. I don't know. Anyway, he got me from Auto Assembly a Bad Cop kit, and that arrived in the mail the other day. And the Bad Cop kit is a little Ziploc baggie with a whole bunch of stickers and a light bar and a head. So I've kind of just been looking at the head. The stickers look okay. I mean, I don't know what to say about stickers. The light bar has to be glued on, but it's fully colored, two different translucent colors and a silver bar. The head is pretty neat in person. There's a little bit of slop. If you look inside where they dotted the eyes in red, the cavity around them is also kind of red. But you don't see the cavity around them unless you look at his head from like the bottom, so it kind of is hidden already. And it's a very prime-ish looking head, and I think it looks kind of cool. I have 6 first edition Viacons, so I'm in a good position in this case. Although I'm trying to ascertain if this guy was color matched. I believe he was color matched for the Japanese one, which I have 6 of, because there's also that other first edition Viacon that came out in the States, who was like slightly different in color. And truth be told, I never got one. So I was starting to think, should I get one of those and turn into this guy? And then I realized that at Auto Assembly, they were using the Japanese one when you did the more expensive option where you got a Viacon to go with this kit. So I feel like I'm all set. I even have a Japanese Viacon of my 6. One of them I never opened. Don't know if I'm going to pop the seal on him or just use one of the other 5. I have too many Viacons.
It seems so, yeah.
I have an entire stackable container that is nothing but deluxe Viacons. Like, between first edition, Prid, and Air, and General. It's just Viacons. A box of Viacons.
I don't think you have any right to talk about a lot of Viacons here and with certain other people.
Well, that's true. Aaron has more than me.
Actually, my numbers have been going in the opposite direction.
Who bought one from you?
Not bought. Generally, if I sell anything, a legend goes along with it.
You are... Have you ever seen Breaking Bad?
Yes.
You're trying to get them hooked. You're trying to get them hooked to your product. Because you have plenty of it.
Huh?
You're creating a whole new family of addicts.
Huh?
Is this how you're going to be funding your army building of the Legends Jet Viacon?
Maybe.
Ah. Well, I did get one other transforming robot thing this week. It came as a bonus in a box I got of stuff I bought from the Bearded Stranger on Twitter. He mentioned he threw in something extra, and that, yes, it is a regular thing, before I ask. So, there are stickers on them that said they came from Big Lots. It's two 2-packs. They are transforming construction vehicle robots. They're called Trans Robot Revolution. They're gray and kind of orangey-yellow construction vehicle robots. I haven't opened them yet. I'm not sure when I'm going to, so I figured I'd just talk about them now, because I am going to talk about other stuff in this box. But, they actually don't look utterly terrible. They look pretty simple, but they also look fairly original, and they look like they, if they aren't made of crappy material, they could be kind of solid little toys. Not little, actually. They're pretty large. Have either of you heard of Trans Robot Revolution?
Can't say as I have.
Well, apparently if you go to Big Lots, you can... Okay, I know someone's Googling it. I know someone's Googling it.
For some reason, this is familiar, and it probably shouldn't be.
I mean, I don't have Big Lots over here, but apparently they're a Big Lots thing. But it was cool, and I thought that was neat that he threw them in. So I want to say, here and now, thank you, the Bearded Strand. Sorry, the Bearded Strand, I believe, is his Twitter name. I might be misremembering it. I could just look at it. Why am I trying to remember it? It's right in front of me. Anyway, I have some other Transformers I have not talked about in a while, but that's because I just haven't looked at them, so they're kind of just sitting on the back, to be got to. So that's all the Transformer stuff I got and that we got, so I guess we can go to off-topic now. Open that elevator door up. What's up, Aaron?
I'm work. And work.
Billable hours.
Not all of it.
Ah, crap.
Hey, drive time. I get paid mileage, but not the time. So I'm working like 11 to 12-ish hour days and getting paid for 9.
Audiobooks. Money. Audiobooks.
Yeah. I've burnt through my massive backlog of podcasts when I can. Today we spent a whole lot of time looking over a hole and trying to figure out how a brand new, like, never hit dirt before piece of equipment managed to just shoot itself.
Yeah, I saw those pictures. Like, it looked like a drill had broken.
Yeah, no, so actually with that, the picture was half of a linkage shaft piece between a hydraulic motor and a water impeller for a directional drill, so like you can bore a pipe underneath the road without having to cut open the road or do any sort of crazy digging or jacking to get pipe under the road.
I did not know that such a tool existed until today.
So there's this flathead that has a water jet that comes out of it, and they can steer that as they push it in order to get it to go down underneath to make sure that you have your depth, so that when you pull it back through with a reamer on it, like a drill bit that you pull back through, then you can pull pipe through after that, and then you can have your pipe underneath the road without having to shut down the road. Well, brand new piece of equipment that the salesman had been there yesterday for to show off. And they had said it felt kind of hard to push, but they figured it could be a kind of dry clay underneath this state road that's been there forever. Who knows what's down there that they're trying to push through. Well, as they were trying to pull it back, they needed the water around the reamer to help lubricate everything to pull through, and it just wasn't working. And then they heard this kerblam. And so they go and they open it up, and the picture that I took is half of it. The other half of it looked like it had friction welded itself in place. They couldn't find the edge of the piece to pull it out, because had they been able to pull out that piece and nothing else appeared broken, you could go and get a new one of these pieces that connects the hydraulic motor to the impeller piece and make it go again. But that piece would not come out. And, oh yeah, their shop is 2.5 hours away. So
2.5 hours later, you're off topic. What you got was...
Well, 2.5 hours is how long it would take to just get it back to the shop. The water impeller piece has other parts of the whole thing mounted to it. So the part that you'd have to remove, you'd have to take the whole big tank treaded machine apart to get into. So hopefully Vermeer is going to send another one out for them to test out tomorrow, and we can get this stuff done. But that was today's fun.
All right.
I'm that terribly boring. I've been watching a whole lot of construction go not nearly as fast as it should.
That's all right. It's all right. I've been watching a render bar a whole lot.
Is that as thrilling as watching other people do a whole lot of work that you're not allowed to work on?
Kind of, yeah, because you want it, so like you do something, right? And you just want to keep moving, but you have to check to make sure it looks like right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you hit render and it's like, all right, I have to wait 30 seconds, that's fine. And sometimes those 30 seconds add up. Sometimes you hit render and it's like, oh, right, there's a motion file, oh, God, and then suddenly it's like a 5-minute render to check, you know, a thing.
Yeah.
And the worst is, oh, wait, that didn't work, I have to tweak it. Now I have to check it again. And then you go like, I'm just going to open up Twitter. And everyone's angry this week. And
that's why part of why I was on Twitter, because the rough thing with construction inspection is I'm supposed to make sure that everything's done right and am not allowed to do anything. And there are times and places where I would love to be able to chip in and help and get something done. And the most I can do is like maybe help move some stuff around, hand somebody a tool, but I can't do anything substantial, because if something goes wrong, they can go, oh, the inspector did it, and I have no defense.
And man, being called inspector should be... You should have more power. Like, the inspector sounds like it's...
So, the thing is, depending on site, I do have a lot of power.
Mm.
But everything that I've learned is the inspectors are there just to make sure things get done right, and everybody's happy, or... everybody's equally unhappy at the end.
I just feel like the ability for you to suffer any consequences for your actions, it's like disrespecting the notion that your name is Inspector. Like, you should be invincible.
Yeah, for as long as I'm not dumb, I am.
That's kind of awesome.
And where it gets dumb is when an inspector hops down the hole. Because there was... the place that I previously worked at, so it got found out that there was an inspector that was doing similar work on the side, and one day they had a guy show up sick, and so he had hopped into the equipment and worked, and then was dumb and got paid by the contractor for his day out there, which the contractor was doing what he should have done, paying the guy for doing the work, but... he was not acting as an agent for the municipality. He was instead acting as an agent for the contractor, and we're there to make sure the municipality gets what they want with the money that they're paying.
This is why, as an editor, I really like that right now I'm working for an editor.
Uh-huh.
Because basically we're all on the same page.
Uh-huh.
And it's new. Yeah. I'm used to being the person doing my job amidst people who don't do my job. And it is a very different experience. Like, you think it's different, but it is different.
Yeah. The big thing is, it's kind of like a 3-way pull or 4-way pull between the engineer, the contractor, the city, and the environment. So, like, a 4-way pull. Like, we found stuff today. The one picture that another picture that I did send out there was, like, looked like a muddy mess where there was a water valve that we had assumed was on one line, and instead it was on a T off of that line. Mm. So then it becomes like, okay, well, what we thought for this situation isn't this situation, and so if things go down, we have to do different things other ways. And then the contractor's like, well, maybe we could save ourselves having to cut a line in with this by doing that. And then it's like, well, no, you can't do that because then you'd be taking this hydrant out of service, and we really don't know what else is going that way. And to find that out would be a big exploratory hole that you'd have to dig that then becomes a bigger pain in the butt than it would be for... you just tie on to where you're already going to tie on and not cause problems.
Yeah.
Then the town guy who's the town water sewer chief dog catcher and first responder guy rolled in and had his own ideas that were horribly off of what we were looking at on the ground. But He's the guy that we have to make the most happy, because ultimately he's the one that's saying yes and no to things. So that's fun.
You gotta love it when there are that many hands in the pot.
Yep.
And by that I mean, damn it.
Yep. There is a time where it'd be like, look, this is what the town needs. This is how much money it's going to take. You have a grant for half of that. We're going to do half of the work. We're going to do the work. Let's just get this thing done. But yeah.
Well,
there also does come a point where it's like, at some point you just have to say, hey, it is what it is, and get on with our lives.
Yeah. It feels kind of dickish to say, but perfect segue to... Damn right. I'm guessing that all you got this week was work stories.
Yes.
No topic. All right. Omega's Prime.
Next Friday will be a good paycheck.
Ooh. Money.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pre-order, technically, so we can't go into detail on that. Omega's Prime, what did you get this week that was not Transformers?
Really only one thing, and technically I have not dived into it all that much, but with how much I have coming out of the way, I kind of want to thin out the pool here.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up picking up this Wii game called Xenoblade Chronicles.
That had a whole bunch of backstory to its release.
Yeah, it did. It was one of those Project Rainfall titles where an actual successful fan campaign actually got it translated and imported to the US. And then ultimately got it released at GameStop only.
And at, like, the beyond tail end, like it was like riding in the back seat of the mausoleum car that the Wii was dead inside, if I recall correctly. Like, it was like one of the last Wii games to come out.
Oh yeah. So yeah, retail exclusive and tail end of the console's life. Yeah. It's kind of absurdly stupidly rare.
I almost bought it just because of that. And then I was like, no, I can't be one of these people. I'm leaving this alone.
Well, it was one of those things where a friend of mine tweeted out this little list of games he was selling because he was having trouble making rent that month. It's like, okay, this dude's had a hard time. You know what? I've got a little extra cash kicking around. Let's see. PS3, PS3, 360, 360. Okay, he's got one game that I can actually play. Now, at this point, I never heard of Xenoblade. I heard of, like, Xenogear. Mm-hmm. Like, I've heard of Xeno titles.
It's a well-tall game.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was... Oh, it's a used Wii game. How much could it cost?
So you found out about the backstory after you decided to get it.
Yeah, I didn't know how rare it was until he told me the price.
Like I said, I almost bought one to hang on to and flip, and then I was like, no, this had a campaign to release it. Every copy out there must be... A majority of them have got to be basically going in the hands of the people who wanted it to come out if it's coming out this late. I gotta leave this alone.
Right.
And then I had the epiphany, and I was like, wow... I almost became like those guys who use Legos as stock. Or
Masterpiece sound waves.
Yeah. I.e., I would be doomed to fail and look bad doing it. And I was like, I gotta not think like this ever again.
To be fair, he charged me basically retail price for it, but going in thinking, oh, this used Wii game, $20 at the worst? 50. Now, there's my Good Samaritan badge for the month.
Wear it with... Actually, it doesn't look all that good, I'm sorry to say.
Nah, not really.
Because they assume that you're already like the kind of person who's not going to be into the material things, so like, well, I'll just make the Good Samaritan badge look like a piece of crap. They didn't have to literally make it look like a piece of crap, but that was actually my input, because I was like, yeah, hang on, I'm going to go flip this stupid Xenoblade game, and then I became a human being.
So yeah, one of these days when I have free time, I think I'll actually play it.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently it is quite good.
Yeah, I don't really know much, but I watched a quick look of it, and I kind of came away going, like, that looked like some kind of RPG-ish thing.
The one thing told me is, like, I mentioned, this is how little I knew, because I knew Xeno, okay, I said, like, I knew Xenogears. So I mentioned to the guy, well, I'll be honest, I've never played a Xenoblade game before. And he told me, like, probably not, this is the only one. And part of me went, but it's called Chronicles. How is the first game in the series a chronicle?
It's that good.
Well, then he didn't. Well, that's the point where he informed me of, like, the 90-hour gameplay run.
Yeah, it's a chronicle.
One of these days I'll have free time where I'm doing nothing. One of these days.
Just be careful, because, I mean, now you have Steam, and you have, granted, one of last generation now's consoles. Real easy to just make the stack.
See, the nice thing about Steam is that I can just kind of hide my pile of shame. I don't have to stare at it like I do the game shelf.
I wouldn't call
shelf.
It the nice thing, because yeah, that's where you don't have a physical manifestation of all the money you're spending.
It gives me this little tile view, and I can pretend. I'm sad now. Why am I sad?
Video games.
Damn you, video games.
They hate you. You should delete them all. Then burn your computer.
I'm getting ready to replace it.
Just... fire.
You know what I super don't want to have to do is replace my computer. I'm really just not in the mood for it, but it's also nearing on that time.
I fear I need to crack that thing open and get all the dog fur out of it, and I'm afraid.
But you know what I mean, right? Like where you're like, oh man, it's probably almost that time to have to. It's almost that time to have to switch something to this computer, but you super don't feel like doing anything with the computer. It's like it's not in a convenient place to be fixed or replaced right now.
We're at this point where I really should replace the whole thing, but at the same time, I need this one to go a little bit longer, and I'm scared if I touch anything, it's going to blow up into shrapnel.
Well, get your camera out and get it to blow up into shrapnel. Sick YouTube views, brah.
And what would I upload it with?
Your phone.
Hold on. In your pantry, do you have a Campbell's soup can?
Possibly.
Of course, you'd specify Campbell's.
Do you have? Well,
like a white guy.
It's a standard, okay?
Uh huh.
I want to hear this.
Do you have some butcher's twine?
I can acquire some.
There you go. Can you make dial-up tone noises with your mouth? That's close.
That's going to get him on the government list. He's going to go into the wrong phone number. He's going to get one of those things where they pick up the phone and put it back down, and then people show up at his front door if he makes that noise.
Yeah.
I was there for BBS Systems, man. I know. Well, actually, I wasn't.
Seeing if you can go eventually you can get it to YouTube.
Sweet. Tin cans and string is sweet 2 kilobyte a minute upload speed.
Oh no.
I got something sweet in the mail.
Yeah.
Oh right. I got this.
Oh yeah, I have to continue that thought.
I got this box from the Bearded Stran, on Twitter. Basically, you know how there was suddenly a bunch of adult collector Mattel toys showing up at Big Lots?
Hey, whoa! Oh yeah,
because they made too many. And by that I mean dildo. What? So, I was putting out the word going like, yo, that sounds cool, but there's no way I could possibly participate in this remotely because it seems like a disaster waiting to happen because no one knew what was where. But then Bearded Strand was like, hey, I thought I saw Cyclone. Do you like him? I was like, yeah, I'll proxy by him. So when he went there, he's like, Cyclone's gone, but they got Icarius, who's from the New Adventures He-Man show. And I love New Adventures He-Man, even though I've never seen an episode because I had a bunch of the toys. And that's why I love it. So I was like, I'll get $10. Sure. Let's do it. So he grabbed that and he was like, do you want Vicron? And I was like, so Vicron, I immediately remember because that was like one of the really dumb San Diego exclusives. It's based on, it has a basis in He-Man fact, but it's basically a goofy looking guy who has three costumes, one of which is a barbarian, one of which is Boba Fett, and one of which is a bunch of tank pieces with a tank turret for a head.
Oh, right.
And apparently that was there, the whole set, for $10. So I was like, well, for $10, yes, I'd like that stupid Vicron thing.
A friend of mine bought that set, and he was tasking me, should I open this? You know, this is like an exclusive. I might want it to gain value. And then about 5 minutes when I stopped laughing, but I had to talk him into it.
I did, back when it came out, I read up on what Vicron is, and I entirely respect where it came from. It is definitely something that should have been, you know, a limited run exclusive. I don't know why. Whoa, there's a big ass moth on my window. I hope that's on the outside. Anyway, yeah, it, Vicron looks really dumb, but in a way I kind of like. And you got to accept that, I think, going in. Anyway, those showed up. And when he was hanging on to them for a long time, he was blessedly patient because this all also happened during my move. So I forgot about a whole lot of stuff while I was moving, and he's the one who was, he was keeping in touch, you know, as best he could, and I really appreciate that. When we finally did, you know, sit down, and he was actually, you know, I was able to maintain communications like, you know, an adult. He was like, "Yo, I got a couple other things I was going to sell. Do you want them?" And he gave me a pretty good price on them. So I also got PlayArts Kai Tali and SIC Kamen Rider Decade. I, for whatever reason, as soon as the box showed up, I had to bust open that SIC Decade immediately, and I don't know why I felt I had to, but for some reason I really wanted to see what he looked like in complete form in person, because SIC Decade complete form in photos looks kind of stupid, because it's like a little guy inside a gigantic suit of torso armor. It's kind of the aesthetic. It's really interesting looking in person. The figure itself is kind of cool. He's from the era of SIC after they became more like workable toys. And the only problem I've had with him really is his ankles are pretty loose, so he needs a stand to stay standing for any period of time. You can get him standing, but then, you know, you breathe on him and he might fall over. And the way he does his armor change is really nice and simple. It's actually really well done. And I'm coming off of like doing the Ryuki ones, which in SIC were not fun. And it's pretty cool. The only problem is that in his regular Decade form, one of the pieces of thigh armor doesn't really like staying on, so I need to thicken the peg that it plugs in with so it grips better. But okay. I kind of like the figure. Granted, I got him for a lot less than what he cost back when he came out. Also, he comes with a bunch of cards. They all have stickers on them to make them actual cards from Kamen Rider Decade. And then you take all the Rider cards, and there's actually a system to where you can remove pieces of railing to slot them physically into the Decade complete armor. Except I didn't know you could take those pieces off, so I kind of just crammed them in, and luckily did not break anything. So go me. But it's a neat figure. I don't know if I would say, like, you gotta hunt him down immediately, but he's okay. He's kind of cool. I've got a couple other SIC riders, and by that I mean really right now here, it's just like, it's going to be Decade, a whole bunch of doubles and Skull, and then like Stronger and Agito. So I got a little SIC display I can make. That's kind of fun. And he also, I don't know where it's from. It looks like a kind of like kids toy version, but the blue motorcycle from Kamen Rider Black RX was in there as well. I don't know where it came from, but it's just kind of like it looks like a kid's toy version, and it's kind of neat. I like that bike design. It's the bike from Masked Rider as well, so go me. And thank you again to the Bearded Stranger for well, for putting up with my really horrible communication for a couple of weeks, and then sending over a box of cool stuff. And poor dude got a bit screwed over on shipping. I did my best to even it out, but he hit that. You guys, you know, having sent toys, you must have hit that thing where you are dead certain you know what it's going to cost to ship, and then you go to ship it, and you blink at the price. You're like, oh no.
That, oh yeah,
that happened here. So we sorted that out because I was like, I've been there. It sucks. But yeah, that was cool. He used good shipping, so I got here fast. And nice big box. It was cool. Props, the bearded stranger, and all. I would say props to Al, but you know Al doesn't listen to this podcast, so whatever. Scotland. That does it for my what I gots, I think, unless I don't think I'm forgetting anything. Looking around. I got some sick peanuts. That's about it. So I guess that does it for the show. Tune in next week when we'll be back with some more WTF at TFW. Hopefully a bit less controversial next week. You know, we'll settle down. Me and Seth can be nice and calm about things before we get all worked up again on the even team. Know what I mean?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So thank you guys for coming by, and good night.
What the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators and they're here to stay.